How many of you have been stressed in your life? Oh, yes. Great. I know, me too. All right. I'm going to show you a picture of what I look like often when I don't trust in God. It's a picture of me. Nope, not that one. Huh. That one. Ah, that's me. All right. And let me just tell you about, you know, let's go back to the first. This is very distracting. Good, relax. Now, how do we relax? We need to trust somebody. We need to have trust before we can relax. Let me just try to get to this point. Do you know that people who don't know or don't have someone or some things they can trust, they build up anxiety disorders? They think everybody's out to get them, all right? Everything is going to go wrong, and they're very edgy. Have you met somebody like that? And if you say hello, they go, what? You know? He goes, have a nice day. Oh, yeah, you too. Yeah, right? Because if we don't have a friend, a family, a God we can trust, we get very tense. And the only way we ever going to relax is that we find something to put our trust in. And that's what we're going to talk about today. All right? Because reality is... do I have a clicker or move forward? Yeah? All right. Okay. Hopefully we will move from this to this after today. A little bit closer. This to this. Ah. All right. Key verse, okay? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I know Jose and probably JZ have probably taught you this verse to memorize or something, but if not, this is a very famous verse. I mean, we know it sometimes, we have heard about it, but it's familiar, but so hard to practice. So let us read it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. That's really about the whole gist of the sermon today. Right? But how do we get there? All right. So, let's put it this way. If you had a friend, remember that great song, We Have a Friend in Jesus? All right? And you do have a friend in Jesus. And let me tell you about friendship in general, and I think you know it too. If you said, I want a friend, all right, what would the great qualities of a friend would be? I hope, number one, your parents have told you in the past, pick good friends, all right? Don't pick bad friends, pick good friends. And then you, who wants to have a good relationship, all right, you want your friend to also be faithful. Isn't it irritating when your friend says, I'll show up, all right, and they don't show up, right? Or you know what, they promise to do something for you, and you go, oh, I forgot. Irritating, right? That person is not faithful to what they say. So you want a friend who's good, you want a friend who's faithful. And actually, you want a friend that actually cares about you, right? I want a friend who cares about you, that person actually cares about you, who wants the very best for you. So I'm just talking about just three qualities. There's many more, but the three qualities of a good friend is they are good people, they're good. Number two, they're faithful. They will deliver and say what they will do. And lastly, they care about you. They care about your goodness. They love you. So, what a friend we have in Jesus. I want to bring that to the point that actually Jesus is this incredible friend. All the songs that were sung up are so beautiful. It really demonstrates that God is the faithful God, the faithful friend. All right? And we, I mean, you have heard the story many, many times. No greater love than a person who's willing to die for you. And it goes back to the cross of Jesus Christ. But I want to unpack this a little bit. So Romans 8, 28 says, we know that for all those who love God, all things work together for the good for those who are called according to his purpose. All right? God is good, and God is actually working for the good of you. All right? So in the sense of good means he knows, all right, what is actually the best for you. And he's working that good. So we have first determined that he is actually very, very good. All right? And sometimes it doesn't always feel that way, does it, right? Sometimes it goes, oh my goodness, I'm going through so much. He's not so good. But his character is good. All right? I will unpack this a little bit. Okay? And then, aha. And this is the Sermon on the Mount. All right? It's in Matthew, but it's also in Luke. All right? It's so right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, which is, all right, in verse 9, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, give him a snake? Ew. All right? If you then, though, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? That means our Heavenly Father is very good. He knows what's best for you. And sometimes, you know, we ask for things, we really, really want it, but it's not always the best. And I've told the story in the past, you know, like the first girl I liked was in elementary school, you know? I wanted to really date her. I was too young, all right? But I really wanted it, right? But God knew better, all right? Goes, nah, my parents knew better. Goes, nah, let's not go there, all right? So it goes, oh, God, can you give me what I want, all right? But my parents knew better. God knew better, all right? So even though we ask for things, our Heavenly Father is so loving, he doesn't only give you what you ask. He gives you what you really need. All right? Wow, I know it's radical. All right? That means some of the things that you want might not be the things that you might need. And God is the perfect good God who knows how to differentiate the difference. And as many times that I have asked for things in the past that I didn't get, and actually years gone by, I go, why can't I get it? But now I know why. And the other silly example I always use is, I have liked many girls in the past, all right? And I asked God to give me, actually one of them actually went to this church, right? I asked God, why her as a girlfriend? Why couldn't I marry her? God said no, right? I was brokenhearted, but God gave me the perfect person who is my wife today, all right? But I was not very happy when God said no. I was very upset. But to this day, I can look back. I says, I understand you, loving and good God. I understand why you did not let me have that relationship. It still hurts. But I am so thankful that God knew better. Because my relationship with my wife is not perfect. But when we work things out, you know what? It's even better. Right? So I am glad that God said no to me. So we can trust him. He knows better than what we ask. Okay? And so God is good, and God is faithful. Do you remember, all right, what I said? You want somebody who says they're going to do what they said they're going to do. God is a faithful God. So in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. All right, that's his promise. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good? That means God will always do what he says he would do. He will not violate his own laws. He will not violate his own promises to you. And then, remember the early promise? In all things, good will work for those who are called according to his purpose. So God will do it. That means he will deliver. When he will be there. When he says he loves you, for sure he will love you. All right? And 2 Timothy 2:13. Oh, I love this one. I love this verse because it talks to me. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. That means when I like going crazy, God is not going crazy. When I'm walking away from God, God is not walking away from me. When I'm angry at God, and sometimes I am, right? He might not be angry at me. Wow. So this incredible characteristic of God's faithfulness is not dependent on you, is not dependent on me. Because I know I'm not the I am not that reliable. And sometimes you know you let yourself down too, right? But isn't it good that God never changes and he's always good and he's always faithful? And that's a good friend, right? Okay. And then lastly, for the three things, okay? 1 John 4:8, God is love. And love those who are in Christ. That means he has incredible good affection towards you and me who are in Christ. That means he loves you. That means when he thinks about you, because you're in Christ, he has tenderness towards you. He cares about you. He wants to be close to you. You know, it's no greater thing than a friend who calls me up and says, I want to spend time with you. All right? I care about you. I want the very best for you. God has that loving affection towards you. That's God is love. That's his character. All right? And he wants to move towards each one of us. Right? And then this is really encouraging to me. Romans 8:37. But in all things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who gives us love. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That means nothing can separate us from his love. When I just think about these three incredibly just strong characters of God, that God is good, God is faithful, God is love, God is good, God is faithful, and God is love. When you have somebody, a friend like that, wouldn't you want to trust him? Honestly, I'm looking, and I found that friend in my wife, Shirley. You know, she's not God, okay? All right? But she has those characteristics, all right? She drives me crazy at times, but she's very, very good, all right? And she's very faithful. She really does come across, she does what she says. She would put all the tax documents together, all right? 2 weeks before tax day, I would wait until 3 days. She's very faithful. She pays all the bills. She's very faithful, all right? And the most beautiful thing, all right? No matter how much we fight, and we do fight, she loves me, all right? We fight like crazy, cats and dogs, meow, 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 right? But we always make up, and she loves me. So just think about that for a second, that we all need to trust, all right? We need to put our trust into somebody. But more than anything else, we need to put our trust in God. Let me give you this example. Let me try to give you a demonstration. All right. I have these called little rocks, okay? These called, this is symbols of things, okay? This is your, what they call your well-being, okay? What you put your happiness, your joy in, okay? Is that your well-being, okay? Just think about it. What do you put your well-being in, all right? I want each of you to take one and pass it around. Just take one and pass it. Take one and pass it. I'll try to do this. Let's do it this way. Tell me when you got. Can we turn on one light, actually? No? Right. It's getting dark. Wow, you are here. That's good. Oh, there's people. All right, just pass around, take one. If you are compelled to take two, you can take two. Everybody have one? Jose? No? Okay, no problem. Don't eat the rock. Not a vitamin. Huh? No. Don't throw the rock at a friend who was not faithful. Okay. Do not throw it at your children who has misbehaved either. Okay, maybe you can do that. No. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Stay with me. Stay with me. You can take two if you really want. I'll tell you why. But just make sure you take one, and you can take two. Okay. No, it's okay. Doesn't matter what you take. It's a marble, it's a rock. It's a symbol of your well-being, your joy, your happiness. Just hold on a second. Everybody have one? Jose, you have one? All right. Okay, back there. All right, good. Thank you. You guys are very cooperative. Thank you. All right. What I want, realistically, again, we have to trust. There's no way. We have to trust. We have to put our well-being in somebody's hands. We have to put our joy into something, all right? You don't have a choice. Remember, again, what I started earlier, those who don't put trust or don't know how to put trust in other people or other things, all right, they have a lot of anxiety, all right? So as healthy beings, we need to differentiate what we should put our trust in, all right? Because the character of the person we put our trust in is so important, all right? So I want you to be very honest, all right? Can we be honest for a second, all right? I want you to, or each of when you come up, all right? I want you to put your little rock of well-being, all right, on either two places, okay? One says God's, all right? That means God's goodness, faithfulness, and love, all right? I want you to be honest now. So if you really put your well-being, your joy on God's goodness, faithfulness, and love, I want you to put your rock here. But if you, like me sometimes, put my joy and well-being on power, wealth, popularity, woohoo, All right, my friends, love and like me, I'm invited to everything. Or worldly success, whatever that might mean. All right, having a boyfriend, getting a good grade, having a girlfriend, all right, anything, all right, that is not over here. And I want you to be honest. So we're going to come up, and you're going to put it on. All right, God knows. So nobody's going to look at the guy, the person lining up. Don't look at what they put the rock. Just put the rock, okay? All right, don't look, don't look. And I'll give you a realistic option. You have one rock, right? It goes, oh, all right? There's additional rocks up here. Sometimes it goes, oh, I sometimes trust God. Sometimes I trust. Then you pick up another rock. But if you only have one rock and you don't have, I want you to put the rock where you most find your joy. Put the rock, or the pebble, or the marble, onto the place where you find the center of your joy. Good? All right, let's do this kind of quickly, all right, so we can end. All right, so just line up and just put your rock. Don't look at where the rocks, just go ahead. Come on up. You can put it on either one. All right. Yep. If you're split, you can take another rock if there's a rock there. You guys are doing great. Move it along. Yep. One and one. If you have two, you can actually put two on the world or two on God, too, if you have two. If you're that convinced, just be honest. Don't look. Exactly. Single file, let's go. Oh, you guys are doing great. Let's keep moving. Excellent.
I wish that there was a middle.
Yes, you can put, oh, that means the middle means you can put one here too then. Thank you. All right, you guys come on up. Now, honest, be honest now, guys. Adults, be honest, too. I'm just encouraging you guys, not doubting you. No one's looking. No one's looking. Don't look. Jamie's cheating. We need to pray for her. Wow, this is good. Looking at this, I think you guys are very, you know, pretty honest. There's a little bit more rocks on power, wealth, popularity, worldly success, so on and so forth. And if I had to do it, I would put a rock on this, and I would do that too. But I want so desperately to move towards putting a little more rocks here. Right? And sometimes it looks, oh, there's no difference. Right? Well, apparently sometimes when everything's going well, when you do have popularity, when you are successful, when your grades are good and your friends are all liking you, and things are really going seemingly well, seem like there's no difference in where we put our joy. But if we are past the age of 10, we realize life doesn't go that way, right? Rain happens, right? Bad things happen to us. It rains on us. Whoa. Whoa! Whoa, 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 whoa. What happened? What happened? It fell. it's holding up. And the outset, it all looks the same, right? I can put my trust and my joy, my well-being, on what I can control. But you know, it doesn't always go your way. We all need, as children of God, we all need, as people of God, to put our hope on something much more solid. Especially when the rainstorm comes, right? When sadness comes, when rainstorm comes, we need something more substantial to hold us up. Ah, yes. The difference between these two is the character. This is weak. This is very weak. It won't hold up. But God's character is strong, is true. Right? Sometimes it doesn't look like that when all things go well. But in reality, we live in a broken world, and we really need the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and the love of God to sustain us. So that's what I want to really demonstrate to you. You need to be honest. Knowing the truth about yourself will help you move closer. I confess. Sometimes I put more rock in this bucket, and I go crashing down. I do. I have crashed down a lot because I have not focused on the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and the love of God. And how do we learn how to trust more? It's not a feeling. It's definitely not a feeling. It's not, oh, today I feel like trusting God. Because days you wake up, you just feel so overwhelmed. It's not a feeling. But it is actually going back to the Bible, going back to good fellowship, and being reminded that God is good, God is faithful, and God is love. And his love certainly endures forever. And then to help you trust and help me trust, I keep focusing on his character. I remember how strong, how good my God is. And I have doubts. I do. Sometimes, like, oh, it's going to hold me up. But I remember the goodness of God, how faithful he has to me. Then I let go. And then I sustain. He sustains my well-being. Sometimes, even in my well-being, I have sorrow. But he can sustain my well-being. So if you learn nothing else, because I know that you have great Bible Sunday school teachers, and people are teaching you about the love of God, about the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God. But you and I have to put that into practice. We need to put our faith in him. Okay? So, all right, yes, all right? Being in love with God, all right? Being in love with God and being loved by God is going to make you look like that. Anybody recognize that picture? Singing in the rain, right? Why is he singing in the rain? Good. All right, we have some oldies but goodies. All right, why is he singing in the rain?
Okay. Oh,
yeah,
the girl liked him back.
Yeah, the girl liked him back, okay. All right, that's good. That's worldly wealth. But anyway, it's going to be joyful. The reason is because it's raining, all right, because someone loves him, because he's in love, because you and I, if we're in love with God and we know his love, just like that girl loving Gene Kelly, all right? The world can be raining. We can still have joy. I can't promise you a world without rain, but I can promise you that if you know the love of God and you love God, rain will come and you still be joyful. Okay? Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. All right, wow. Now, that cat is totally relaxed. Who has cats? You have cats, right? Does the cat let you pet him in the belly? Oh. Sorry about that. Sorry, but this one's alive. Okay, sorry. Okay, all right. Experience with cats, okay? I'm sorry about the cat, right? But I have a couple of cats. My father has two cats. They're Siamese cats. Well, not Siamese cats, they're calico cats. You know, the stripes, all right? And I have a nephew, all right, who always chases the cats around the house, all right? The cats will never let them pet them in the tummy, all right? Because my nephew is kind of dangerous to those cats. But I am very gentle with the cat. I'm very loving. I never grab the cats. I never, you know, all right? So when I go to my father's house, the cats go like this. And they let me pet them. And they turn their belly over and I rub them and I go, like that. Because the cat trusts me. All right? And that's how we can actually look if you learn how to trust in a good and loving God. There is tenderness in our belly, in like most cats. Actually, if you don't, they don't trust, they won't let you, they won't do that. So this is a picture, actually, of what I would love to see all of us, including myself, to say, God, I trust you. It's almost like a praise. I surrender to you. I trust you. Feels so good when you focus on the goodness of God. All right? So since God is good, God is faithful and loving, you can trust him and you can relax. All right? So I pray not this. I pray that you notice experientially, that you begin to trust God. All right? And then actually find yourself in the center of his arms, and even when it's through difficult times, all right, you will find your wellness intact. Even if you have sorrows and difficult moments, you're going to find your wellness in the arms of God. Let's close and pray. Lord God, I know that we try to approach your throne to acknowledge how loving you are, how faithful you are, and how good you are. I pray by the only person who can make this penetrate into our heart is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us fix our eyes upon your incredible, strong character of love, faithfulness, and goodness, that we can continue day by day, morning by morning, surrender ourselves, surrender our well-being to you, so we don't have to grasp, we don't have to fight, we don't have to control everything in our lives to be well, because our trust is in you. So I pray that the Spirit will continue to quicken all of us to how great you are, that we will continue to worship you with delight through sunshine and rain of light. May we trust you. So like that pretty cat, relax in your arms of love. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.